The original Ghost in the Shell anime film was a phenomenon, Jimmy. And we have some vestigial materials to kind of go along with that original anime. And I'm very excited to present it to the Cartoonist Kayfabe audience. Welcome to your favorite YouTube channel, Cartoonist Kayfabe. My name is Ed Piskor.
I'm Jim Rugg.
We're going to take a look at the Ghost in the Shell archives and the analysis of Ghost in the Shell based on the manga by Masamune Shirow. But first, got to let you guys know that we are a daily YouTube channel, and we have more than 1,500, maybe 1,600 videos in our filmography as we speak, including a good deep dive on the original Ghost in the Shell manga. We might have talked about your favorite comics, so give the channel a search. Hit the magnifying glass on the front page of the Cartoonist Kayfabe YouTube channel, search for your favorite comics, and check out those episodes. We are also presenting to you guys the Cartoonist Kayfabe Patreon, and the King Kayfabers on our Patreon get all videos before anybody else. It mitigates the kayfabe effect. We've accumulated a pretty wide audience. The audience respects our opinions and buys the books that we talk about. This Ghost in the Shell archives here in the States, this thing's going for over $100 at this point. So it's the King Kayfabers in the audience who are getting the cheapest copies of that. Without further ado, Jimmy, can we dive in?
Let's do it.
Let's start off with the Ghost in the Shell archives. This was a pickup that I grabbed from Tokyo this go round. The videos are brought to you by the books that we make, and we have a healthy selection of new materials for you at this point in time. Jimmy has Street Angel Princess of Poverty hot on the stands. It is the companion piece to Street Angel Deadliest Girl Alive. Princess of Poverty collects Jimmy's pre-Image comics, Street Angel comics, and you have both of these collections. You have all of his Street Angel comics to date. He's been self-publishing lately, and True Crime Funnies is one of his latest efforts where comics are concerned. There is the 1986 zine, there is the black and white zine, and you'll be able to scoop those up at his website. The Hulk Grand Design Marvel Treasury Edition book is technically out of print at this point, man. So if you see it somewhere, scoop it up, because you're not going to have second dibs, a second shot at getting it anytime soon. The Hip Hop Family Tree Omnibus is out there in the wild right now. Scoop it up. There's only about 20% of this book left on the stands. Coming to you in early 2024 is going to be Red Room Crypto Killers. It is the third part of the Red Room trilogy of comics. Each one is self-contained, so give anyone a shot, check it out, and give another one a shot if you dig it. Then there is X-Men Grand Design trade paperback, collecting all of my X-Men Grand Design works in one handy dandy hard softcover edition. Now that we are done paying the bills, let's get back to the video. So what the Ghost in the Shell archives is, Jimmy, is a collection throughout the entire movie from start to finish of keyframe pencil drawings, mostly completely finished. And then what would happen is, I believe it was 101 Dalmatians is the Disney film that created the xerography system, where they, with the Xerox company, created a framework and machines apparatus to take very, very tight pencils and transpose that artwork onto animation cells, and then there's like a curing process so that that ink doesn't just fucking wipe the hell off. So it's been a long time since animation cells have been inked traditionally, and the way that you operate is by doing the tightest pencils possible. So this is maybe one to set the scene, but then you got to trace it off for the color department.
One of the great things of this book is these are refined drawings.
Right.
You know, like, we've looked at some storyboard, you know, storyboards have been published and stuff like that, which is a little bit more raw. These are gorgeous as drawings.
And check out this, man. Some of the information that they're providing for themselves is like, okay, man, this is going to be a three-point perspective, and the vanishing point is down here somewhere. So let me give myself a couple of guidelines, because that's a hard figure to draw.
Well, how wild is it, too? You know, those guidelines are these lines, right?
Right.
Like, this is the background that we're going to put this figure on top of, and those are the guidelines so that we understand the perspective that we're looking at.
Yeah. And then what we're getting here is you see the 016, these are from storyboards. So it's a good mishmash of the materials from Ghost in the Shell. But when you see this stuff, man, it's beyond a shadow of a doubt the exact drawings that were duplicated and shot on screen.
There's such, some of these images so static, right? Like a figure coming up out of water, and yet the movement is so clear.
Right.
There's movement there, even though the drawings are relatively static.
Movement, expressions, energy, body language, and weight distribution. The stuff that, like this, right? This,
yeah, the little drawings, like of the digits, just really beautiful stuff. Underwater.
And I have it on good authority that there is no rotoscoping in anime. It almost never happens. There's a few times where it happens. So this is a drawn, maybe they had someone model like what that they're looking over.
Yeah.
But this is not traced from a photograph, which is atypical from the American system.
That's really impressive because like hair underwater.
Right.
Man, you can get that wrong. Almost everything you do could be wrong on that.
When we were interviewing Yutaka Manoa, he said that the hair was a bitch. The hair was a bitch for Jubei and others.
I have a book. It's like anime backgrounds or something. I forget the name of it exactly, but it's this kind of more even like the finish, like the painted sort of backgrounds. But it's so cool to look at that stuff.
Totally.
Like I find that very inspiring.
Yeah, that was a book that was heavily being promoted when a couple of trips to Tokyo. That was like on the end caps and stuff.
We'll have to check it out sometime because I think it sold out and then was reprinted because it was one of those that like the price spiked.
Right.
And then became reasonable again.
I always loved this sequence right here when the kind of garbage man, he's in some water or something, like submerges a little bit. When he shoots the Uzi, it pushes him back.
Mm.
You know, his legs stay static, but he's getting pushed back from the recoil.
It's great to see this stuff too in one color.
Right.
Working out like the lighting sources and things.
Yeah, totally, man. And then, just indicating this stuff for the painters who are then going to maybe even do an ink line with a different color to denote where the cell shaded parts will show up.
It's interesting to see this kind of line work with the thought of where a lot of contemporary Marvel DC Image comics have gone.
Right.
Because they do a lot of this like really open, it's one line weight and then let the colorist do the painting.
I would say really rapidly after this movie came out, you get your Pat Lee Darkstalkers or like some of those weird comics that he was putting together where he was completely figuring out how to do animation quality comics that had the cell shading. It was fuzzy in a way that
it
Cathode
wasn't
Ray
even
Tube TV
just
was.
Anime. It was like Ghost in the Shell.
It was
palette.
Ghost in the Shell. Yeah, totally.
Those are kind of neat. I mean, they were a sensation. I think they were very popular.
Yeah.
Dark Minds.
Okay, there it is.
I think he might have come out of Mark Silvestri Studios.
I'm not 100% sure on that, but I know for a fact that he did Prophet issues during the Stephen Platt era. Like whenever Stephen Platt wasn't showing up, like Prophet 9 was my first Prophet, and Stephen Platt did a couple bookend pages, and he did all the middle.
Man, I love these perspective shots.
Yeah, dude, it is not to be trifled with. And then even that, you know, like you see those in Frank Miller Daredevils, right, where it's clearly like a lot of like a 90-degree angles. Great perspective. Foreshortening on the characters there. I've been very much into doing these comic strips that have panel shapes this way. So I've been looking at a lot of that material to just like see how you can compose within that, man. So this is not the only video that we'll do with that kind of artwork in mind. A lot of these storyboard books, we looked at the Ghibli storyboards a long time ago.
How cool is it looking at this and thinking like Stray Bullets 8-panel grid?
Exactly.
That's wild.
It's that exact shape.
One of the nice notes on this book is that they do vary the size of these.
Right.
You know, you'll get these ones that are like half page versus eighth page. And I think we saw even smaller ones previously in here. So that kind of variety, I think, really helps break this material up.
I agree. Dude, look at that, man. A little bit of a motion built into the actual line work.
Phenomenal.
There is an Instagram channel that I follow. It's, I think it's called One Perfect Frame, where they isolate frames from animation. And when you look at like old Tex Avery's or Bugs Bunny's, there's literal like airbrush and straight up brush strokes to convey speed and stuff. Whenever you see like stop motion and you see that jitteriness, it's because it's an isolated frame that has one motion to the next, and when you or I are moving across the screen, there are frames that are blurs. So they knew that in hand animation to like build in frames that are blurs. It's interesting. Yeah. It's fascinating. submerged underwater with a shadow underneath. Jimmy, these animators, they are a different breed of illustrator.
They really are. Think of what you're looking at, too, to figure this kind of stuff out. This is you in a park watching, like, a leaf hit the water in a fountain or something.
Right.
And just mesmerized.
Some National Geographics or something.
Like an understanding of physics. Yeah. That just... artists would never think they have that kind of knowledge, but you can't do it otherwise.
And the other tool that the animator has that that gets kayfabed by us very often is the idea of, like, drawing through. Because this guy might have to turn, so you need to know exactly how that arm fits into that trunk. And it's never fake. Like, you can't fake it when you're doing animation because you're twisting these guys around. And I don't think there's anything tougher to fucking animate probably than a properly proportioned human figure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's a reason that figure drawings, like the history of art, this is great. Doing a reflection.
Unbelievable. Man. And once again, no rotoscope to it.
You are right about, like, one of the things to take away. This is fantastic. You know, like, having that like swirl, right? Like a transition. Because of the, as you say, like drawing through it.
Yeah.
That's one of the great things as a somebody who's trying to draw looking at a resource like this.
Totally.
And it is very different than comics. You know, you can fake so much, and we see that a lot and sometimes point it out. But, you know, as a cartoonist, you don't actually have to do quite this level. But as a student, it's great to have access to it.
Right. And I think, you know, if you can build your craft to a place where you're drawing at that level, that's just what you do.
These backgrounds are just beautiful. I always see, like, sketchbook, you know, people keep sketchbooks online, like Instagram follows and things.
Right.
And I just don't do that. Like, when I travel, I don't sit down and, like, draw, you know, the street or whatever.
Yeah.
But I marvel whenever I see somebody that does.
Yeah,
and,
man.
And probably something to do more of next year for me, you know?
I saw James Herron keeping a sketchbook on his Tokyo travels, man. And you know, it speaks to, like, his level of craft, right? Like, he can't turn it off. Dude, you go out there, you're so jet-lagged and fucked up. Like, drawing is, like, the last thing on your... You're, like, even uncomfortable. But he still is... you know, putting pen to paper.
Yeah, it's a tool I don't use enough.
How hard is it to draw those legs in perspective? You know, going away from you, coming back toward you?
Listen, you talk about figure being hard to draw. I would add, like, a walking figure.
Yes.
Maybe the hardest.
Yeah.
And if they're walking towards you or away from you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the walk cycle is no fun.
What a resource to have, man. Like, this is the kind of material that you just never think that you'll ever set your eyes on. But it's out there, man. The Ghost in the Shell archives. Once again, in the States, there is a premium put onto this book because it's on the aftermarket, and I've seen it for over $100. But it's just cover price out there in Japan. And maybe after this video, I can't speak to it, man, but maybe Japan Book Hunter scoops up a couple and will, like, list them on his website or something. Maybe he already has them on his website. You just never know. He's like my first go-to place.
Yeah, it makes total sense. Yeah, this is amazing. And, you know, it has everything. It has the mech, like the sci-fi tech stuff.
Yeah.
It has those gorgeous backgrounds and streets and the urban setting. And then, of course, the figure work that's just haunting.
Right. This is a vague... 5-point perspective. There is a warp to these lines that suggests a 5-point perspective.
It's so radical that people draw that way now.
Yeah. And this, man, this harkens back. This makes me think of there was an anime called Serial Experiments Lane. And that just kind of feels like Lane gets bred right directly off of that. Check this out. You see this straight line down the middle to get that. You got a front view of the girl, so it's like perfect symmetry of the face. You can't even really just eyeball that. You have to do a little bit of math to get it that perfect. And by math, I just mean guidelines.
Yeah, the other thing with this particular book is you get so many of these isolated, like, figure away from the background.
Right.
And what I see there is total emphasis on body language.
Right.
You know, when you have nothing else there, like, that's what that artist gets to use to communicate.
Totally. So there it
that's
is, man.
Outstanding.
That's the Ghost in the Shell archives, one of the latest pickups.
I would love to see more books like that because I see, you know, a fair amount of storyboard books.
Right.
But I'd like to see that slightly more refined art and drawing level.
So this is something that you scooped up, man. The analysis of Ghost in the Shell comes straight from Japan also. Price of $8.88 from Copacetic Comics.
Yeah, and it's kind of a mashup. I thought I would bring it just since if we're looking at Ghost in the Shell art, there's some art in here, some concept art, some painted art. So it's a little bit more of a cross section of artwork that would have come out of this film, finished frames.
Yeah.
But there's also some stuff that I think is pretty interesting. You know, the story. This is almost your mashup of the piece we were looking at.
Totally. And it is from that conceptual stage, which is great because, like, as far as I know, the director is tasked with doing the bulk of the storyboards. So, like, that's the hand that you're seeing. When it comes to a Masamune Shirow comic or project, like, the tech is important. And, dude, just think about it, man. Like, you know, in The Simpsons, it might be like a lollipop that you have to see in different angles. And how does it look in Simpsons language? Fucking Uzis.
Right. With, like, how does the clip come in and out? What are all the working parts? The revolver? Oh, some of that stuff's brutal. It's surprising. Like, I'd almost expect this to just be 3D models or photographs.
Yeah.
But instead, you see actual drawings of these guns from different points of view and everything.
This is a little bit before there would be too much CAD being used in such things, man. Look at that, man. Is that Helen Bonham Carter?
Weird.
From Fight Club? This came out way before Fight Club. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, that must be something else. But then, like, are they photocopying that and dropping it in tiny?
I don't think I've seen that in the movie, man. I think that might just be a placeholder imagery. But, dude, this that sequence when you start shooting it and the fucking dirt gets kicked up.
Yeah, it's kind of cool to see, like, the composited versions here after flipping through with the keyframes.
Imagine animating that.
It reminds me of, like, the Punisher armory issues.
Right, totally.
Very detailed gun work.
They have these air guns out there because the regular citizens can't be really having guns. They have the most realistic looking air guns ever because, like, it'll never be mistaken for a real one. And, dude, they cost as much, if not more, than real automatic weapons probably cost. That's one of the Mandarakes that's at Nakano Broadway.
You wonder how much of this stuff exists.
Right.
You know, if you're doing this many drawings of this setting, like, I don't know, how many scenes are there, you know? Like,
totally.
Like, you have 50 drawings of every background and...
Totally, man. And sometimes they keep the geography pretty, pretty close. And then when you have this is just a starting point. Now you got some dudes fucking painting that.
Mm.
Dude, there was this one Mandarake in Nakano Broadway that had... animation stuff, but it wasn't like my favorite black market dealer. It's there's another one, and on this shelf they were 300 yen a piece background paintings, and it was like, you know how that idea of like liminal spaces, it was fully formed background illustrations like inside of malls and all kinds of stuff. Like, you could have bought the entire thing for $100, $200 bucks.
Yeah, I'm a fan of that stuff. I think it's so neat seeing these kinds of very realized spaces minus figures. There's something cool about it. I remember seeing a zine of that, and it was like a Cartoon Network background, so simpler than this,
right.
But it was still that feeling of like you almost sense there's a story here,
right?
But good luck making sense of it without a little more information.
How cool is this, dude? The reference shots.
Yes.
A little accumulation of reference materials for the team to use.
Again, I just imagine the mountains and boxes of this type of information.
You always hear the stories that from Disney where it's like, we went to the zoo. We took a trip to Africa when we were about to make Lion King.
Yeah, and to your point earlier with guns, now it's like, okay, we also got to do that with vehicles.
Right.
We got to do that with everything. Like, look at the complexity of these helicopters.
That's all right. Shiro does not make it easy.
No.
You know, so you have to try to, like, do your Shiro version of... you know, what a helicopter might look like.
It's so interesting, too, to see, like, some of them are rendered.
Right.
You know, like, a lot of it, you can tell, I guess, if it's going to be used, maybe if it's just the line art, because
right.
someone's going to paint on it, as opposed to, like, this is a study.
Very, very simple could be the individual hands, you know, like maybe this is enough, but you know how there are those guys that just, they can't just deliver at that type of level?
I also wonder how much is literally lightboxed.
This, yeah, sure. I'm sure plenty. Now, this is the stuff that they were touting in promo where it's like, you know, 20% of the movie is computer graphics, and these are the bits that would be the CG.
Yeah, this is one. I wish this book was in English.
Yeah.
It'd be great to be able to see what kind of insight is offered on that part.
There is a lot of stuff that I if it was just translated, I think it would change our culture of comics and art making. If we could just have access to the written word, to the philosophical part, rather than just the aesthetics. Look at this, man. One location, many different angles. What a bitch, huh? Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because there are bits of English in here, you know, staff comment.
It's always that way, man.
Come on. It's always that way. Give us a little bit more. It's such a tease.
Yeah.
It really is a lot of putting together, I think, the pieces that you have in your book.
Right.
Is a lot of the imagery in here. It's almost like laying those on top of each other.
Absolutely. And that's why we're showing both off today on Cartoonist Kayfabe channel. Go get yourselves the Ghost in the Shell archives and the analysis of Ghost in the Shell. It will humble you and give you some food for thought when it comes to, you know, making your own kind of masterpiece. You don't get to arrive at a place of creating a masterpiece if you don't do that groundwork to begin.
Yeah, and one other place that I think you could apply some of this stuff is whenever you're at those creative blocks, do drawings of the settings.
Right.
Do drawings of the props. Because you're still drawing, you're still moving that pencil, but you're still thinking out that world. None of that stuff is going to hurt you. You know, having a better understanding of your character's house, room, you know, set piece, all of that stuff will benefit you.
Well said, man. You good to go?
Yes.
Kayfabers, like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hit the bell so that we can notify you when new videos are available. We are a daily YouTube channel, and it is possible we talked about your favorite books. So hit the magnifying glass on the front page of the Cartoonist Kayfabe YouTube channel. Give it a search for your favorite titles. If we did not talk about your favorite comics yet, you have to let us know in the comments what those comics are so that we can push them a little bit higher on our to-read pile so that we can get to those comics sooner than later. In our coverage, we have a Patreon in the King. Kayfabers on the Patreon get access to all the videos before anybody else. Mitigates the kayfabe effect, and the subscription by way of the Patreon, it pays for itself. The very first time we talk about a book that you want to get, you sleep on being a King kayfaber. You go to the aftermarket and you realize you got to pay 5x, 10x what the book is typically going for. Subscription pays for itself. Ultimately, the videos are brought to you by the books that we make, and it's been a pretty fruitful year, 2023, for the Kings of Kayfabe. And the Hip Hop Family Tree Omnibus is out in stores right now. It's going quick. We don't have too many of these left out there in the wild. So many were accounted for the holidays. Thank you guys very much for that. It's the best book I made to date. More than 500 pages of material, more than 150 pages of new stuff, and a lot of new artwork that I created just specifically for this volume. Red Room comes in three different flavors of trade paperback at this point. Antisocial Network, Trigger Warnings, and coming to you in January is Crypto Killers, the third in the sequence of Red Room comics, Murder on the Dark Web for Fun and Profit, Name of the Game of Red Room. Each of these is self-contained. Each of these contains four self-contained stories, so pick your poison, give it a shot, see if you dig it. And Marvel recently collected X-Men Grand Design into a trilogy trade paperback with all of my X-Men Grand Design materials in here. Very easy, convenient way to get all of my X-Men Grand Design works. Jimmy, what do you have?
Street Angel, Deadliest Girl Alive, and Street Angel Princess of Poverty are my latest releases from Image Comics. These are available wherever you buy books or comics, and they collect all of my Street Angel comics, the Street Angel Princess of Poverty, everything up until Image. So it's mostly black and white line art, kind of the traditional pen and ink drawings throughout there. Street Angel, Deadliest Girl Alive, all mixed media, full color stories. They're all complete stories in both books. So start with either one, whichever you can find at your local comic shop. I've also been self-publishing. True Crime Funnies collects some nonfiction stories, both true crime and wrestling in nature. And you can pick that up on my website, or you can read it on patreon.com/JimRugg, along with the BW zine celebrating the black and white explosion of the 80s, and the 1986 zine celebrating the greatest year in comics history. And finally, the Hulk Grand Design, my contribution to Marvel's Grand Design series of books. This one celebrating the Hulk, and it is out of print at the publisher and distribution level. So pick this one up while you still can from your local store if they have one, because once it's out of print, it may be very hard to come by.
Book sales are the most important step to kind of keep the Kayfabe channel solvent and functioning, but there are some other ways to support the Cartoonist Kayfabe channel. Jimmy, if you let the people know.
Subscribe to the Cartoonist Kayfabe e-newsletter at the links below this video. You can also find Cartoonist Kayfabe t-shirts, merchandise, mugs, hats, stickers, and lots more at our spread shop. That link is also under this video.
there you have it. Many ways to support the Cartoonist Kayfabe channel. Jimmy, if you'll give the people their final marching orders, we can all be on our way.
Read more comics.